Man, it's good to see everybody out this evening. I've jotted some things down here. My handwriting's very bad. Seems like it gets worse as I get older. It's kind of shorthand stuff here, so. But I want to, if you would, this evening, do some preaching on I think a great topic. But it's more than just a topic. It's the essence of the Christian life. Without this, we really don't have anything. And this evening, I want to speak on faith. Faith. And so I would like you to take your Bibles this evening and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, I do think our state, West Virginia, has been very blessed in that we don't have a lot of the COVID cases that many states have. Occasionally, I look at this map and see a lot of states that are like burgundy color, and West Virginia is kind of a white color, and depending on how many cases. And so that's been a great blessing for our state, and that God has been very merciful to us, and we thank Him for that. Hebrews chapter 11, many of you are familiar with the chapter. Before we get into the message, let's just ask the Lord to guide us this evening in our preaching. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that has made the effort to come out. And thank you, Lord, for the health that you have given all of us here tonight. Lord, we're not in a hospital bed with a respirator on us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, God, that many of us can get up in the morning and go to work or just go about our activities without serious health issues. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And, Lord, you've been merciful. And, Lord, we would certainly want to give you the thanks and praise for keeping us all healthy. We ask and pray that you might bless our service tonight, bless the preaching, and speak to us through thy word, because, Lord, this is the word of God. Lord, you have given us a wonderful Bible, a perfect Bible, that we know is not of man, but it's of you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hebrews chapter 11 this evening, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great chapter of faith. Many of us know that. Some of us call it. Many of us will call it the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. And you know, if we ever needed a great faith, it's now. It's today. We need great faith. We need people with great faith. And I hope that would be your prayer going through what we're going through. That God, you would give me a great faith, not only for myself, but to help somebody that may faith may be not as great or strong. But we certainly need a great faith, amen. These are certainly strange and trying times that we live in. You know, who'd ever thought we would have a parking lot service 2 months ago? I mean, 2 months ago I was thinking, you know, about getting done with school and all these things, you know, as a bus driver. But we are in these times. But as you know, but as we are in these times, our faith has a chance, I believe, to really grow. And in our chapter, we see many familiar names in our chapter here, chapter 11 of Hebrews, many familiar names. If you know your Bible at all, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. And you know, there's one thing that they all had in common, and that was they had faith in God. They had a common thing, faith in God. Not faith in the man upstairs. Faith in God. Not faith in some unknown God, as Paul ran into the Athenians in Acts. And he saw that statue to the unknown gods. And, of course, Paul had to rebuke them for that, because God is, he's not unknown. Matter of fact, God is very known. If you go back a chapter in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, it says that God is known. He's made himself known in the volume of the book. God made himself known in his word. And he has revealed himself in his word. He's not revealed himself through rituals. He's not revealed himself through these things. A lot of people go through rituals and think that God's going to reveal himself. But God doesn't reveal himself in rituals. God reveals himself in demonstration. It's called the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse maybe we're familiar with. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God has revealed himself through demonstration. God has manifested himself through his power to save sinners. I know that for a fact, because I was one of them. I was lost. I was about to go off that cliff that Jonathan Edwards talked about in his message, Sinners in the Hands. But you know, God has manifested himself through power, and that he is able to cleanse the sinner. He is able to save the sinner. He is not only able to cleanse and save, he is also able to preserve the sinner. If you're saved tonight, you are being preserved by the power of God. And so what I want to look at this evening is how faith has manifested itself through some of these men which I've just spoke about this evening. First of all, Abel. First of all, Abel. Abel had faith. We see here, obviously, he's in the chapter of this Hall of Faith. Abel manifested his faith by his sacrifice. His sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 there, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. I want you to notice that he had a more excellent sacrifice. He didn't just have a sacrifice. He had a more excellent sacrifice. I mean, it was above average. And it was more excellent. Abel had a better sacrifice than that of his brother Cain. Now, you know that because if you go back to Genesis chapter 4, you see the story of Cain and Abel. And we see in Genesis chapter 4 that Cain he resented the fact that God had rejected his sacrifice. He resented it. And because of that resentment, he murdered his brother Cain, or Abel. And just kind of a side note, in 1 John 3:12, the Bible tells us that Cain was of that wicked one. Which I think, if you believe what God said, Cain had a close relationship with the devil there. But I want to ask this question: what was the difference? What was the difference between Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice? Well, we go back to Genesis 4, we see the difference. Abel's sacrifice was a blood sacrifice. It was an excellent sacrifice. It was blood. Cain's sacrifice was a bloodless sacrifice. Matter of fact, in Genesis 4, it says that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. The fruit of the ground, that's the very words. Human efforts, humanism. You know, people today think they are going to try to gain favor with God by human efforts. You know what? It's a poor sacrifice. And God's not interested in it, just like he wasn't interested in Cain's sacrifice. God's not interested in religion, what religion can do for them, or, you know, to make, you know, help God out. God is interested in what he has already done. And what he has already done is that he has already given his son upon the cross. It's done. And so Cain thought that he could help God out by offering of the fruit of the ground. God rejected Cain's sacrifice. He rejected it. The Bible says he had not respect for it. Not respect. God didn't give Cain's sacrifice a second thought. God looked at that thing and said, not even interested. Not even interested. But then he looked at Abel's sacrifice. He looked at the blood. And he looked at the lamb that was shed there. And you know what? God said, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in the blood. What is God doing? God is laying out the standard for man's redemption. He's laying it out throughout. And you see it throughout the Bible. You see the Passover lamb. And you see, you take a lamb, the lamb, your lamb. And then you get into the Old Testament sacrifice, the blood sacrifice. And then you have in the New Testament, behold the Lamb of God. God is laying out the standard for man's redemption. What is that? Blood. It's a blood sacrifice. I know a lot of people say, I don't like that religion. It's a bloody religion. That's the standard. That in God's sight and estimation, the blood sacrifice, the blood that his son shed is a more excellent sacrifice than that of what man can do. You say, where do you get that? I get that from the Bible. Hebrews 9, verse 22, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It's not my opinion. It's what God said. You don't have blood, you have no forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14 basically says the same words. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. God has set the standard for salvation. Man may not like it, but that God's not going to give respect unto man's human efforts. Hebrews 9:12. Let's turn over there if you would. Hebrews 9:12. Another great verse. Abel's faith was manifested by his sacrifice. He brought the right one. He brought the right one. Cain brought the wrong one. And that's what it comes down to. When it comes down to, are you going to heaven? Well, do you have the right sacrifice? Right? It's not based on me or not based on this church, not based on any church. It's based on the Word of God. Do you have the right sacrifice? Hebrews 9:12. Neither, great verse, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Boy, that is a great verse. That's a verse you can find comfort. The blood of Jesus Christ not only brought remission of sins, it brought complete redemption. From those sins. Complete redemption. That's shouting ground. I mean, thank you for shouting and getting excited there. This is why that there's nothing compares to Bible salvation. Nothing. There's nothing out there that compares to this. Christ's sacrifice is a once and for all sacrifice. It's not going to be done over. Christ isn't going to go back on the cross a second time because, you know, he failed somewhere. That's not going to happen. The next time that Christ returns, it's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because it is finished. Just before he gave up the ghost, he said, "It is finished. It's done." You know, and I have had preachers say in preaching, they say, "There's nothing you can do to add to salvation, and there's nothing you can do to take away from it." There's nothing. It's done. All you can do is accept it and believe it and be saved and glorify God and go and tell others. Number two, how about Enoch? How did Enoch manifest his faith? Pastor Bond preached on Wednesday night about Enoch. Enoch manifested his faith by his walk with God. His walk with God. You know, he had this wonderful testimony, didn't he? A testimony I wish I had. I'm not sure I do, but I hope I would. Is that he pleased God? You know, he's just walking with God. You know, he's just doing right. Getting up every morning, doing what he should be doing, praying, reading, fellowshipping with God, going out, being a good testimony, talking to people about, just doing. He had a walk with God. And he pleased God. He made God happy. How many tonight would like to make God happy? Boy, I sure would. That's one person I want to make happy, hey, brother? I mean, I hope I don't anger you, but I sure don't want to anger God. I surely don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. Enoch walked by faith. He walked by faith, as we all should. We all should walk by faith tonight, right? Are we in agreement to that? We all should walk. Enoch walked by. He didn't do anything that you and I should not be doing. He walked by faith. And as he walked by faith, he pleased God. He manifested his faith in God by his walk with God. You know, really, when you think about the Christian life, it's not complicated. You say, what complicates the Christian life? Us. I complicate it every day. When I get up, I complicate it. You know why? Because I don't want to live it. Because the old sinful nature that I gotta drag along every day doesn't want to walk with God. But it's not complicated. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. Colossians 2:6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How'd you receive Christ? By faith, right? Not by works. If you receive Christ by faith, you know what Paul says? Then walk in that faith. As you receive Christ, so walk ye in him. You know, the wonderful thing about Enoch is that Enoch was a type of Christian. He was a type of just a guy just like you and me. The thing about Enoch was he never saw death. Never saw death. The only man that would never see death. Elijah was caught up in the chariot, but he's going to come back and he's going to die in tribulation. But Enoch never saw death. Why did Enoch never see death? Because he's a type of Christian. And let me say, it's very possible that some of us, if not all of us in this building tonight, may never see death. Very possible. If the Lord come tonight, we're gone. Guess what? You never see death. You'd be okay with that? I'd be okay with that. I don't want to, listen, death has no excitement for me. You know, I don't want to get old and everything that comes with being old, you know, people don't want to come see you no more. And you know, you can't do what you, it's just, you know, I mean, but if the Lord comes, we will never see death tonight. Amen. You say, I don't understand. Well, that's the Bible. The Bible calls that the mystery of God. It's a mystery. You see, maybe you don't understand it because maybe you can't get a hold of the mystery of God. But the Bible says there, behold, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. You know, there's seven mysteries in the Bible. And every Christian tonight should be a good steward of the mysteries of God. You should be able to take those mysteries of God and sit down with somebody that's a young brother or sister and say, can I teach you the mysteries of God? Show them the mysteries. The incarnation, Christ being God, that's a mystery. There's seven of them there. But one of those mysteries is what we call the rapture. The rapture. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. And you know, this is the believer's promise. But you know, the Lord, he talked about this back when he was on earth. He talked about the rapture in John chapter 11. Jesus was talking with Martha there. I think it was Martha. And he said, you know what? He said, there are going to be some that never die. I'll show you that. John chapter 11. In verse 20, John 11, 25. John 11, 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection. That's why you're going to live. That's why you're not going to stay in the ground. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So there's the ones in the grave. They're coming out. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall what?
Never die.
Lord just gave you the rapture right there. People say, oh, the rapture's not in the Bible. It's right there. There are going to be some who die that will come, and there are going to be some that will never taste death. We may never see death. You know, I've always said that there's nothing that the rapture can't fix. You know, listen, we all have a lot of problems, right? I mean, if you're in this world, you got issues, family issues, work issues. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that the rapture can't fix, just like that. That is the believer's promise. And I want to say, I'll give you lastly, Noah, he manifested his faith by his works. By his works. You know, we don't work to be saved, right? We work because we are saved. And that's the fact. Hebrews 11:7, the Bible says about Noah there, it says he moved with fear. And I think about the stuff going on today, and people today, you would think that with this virus going on and people, death is all around us, that people would start moving and going towards God and finding out what's going to happen in death and these things. But people aren't moving towards God. Matter of fact, they're moving away from God. Noah heard what was going to happen with the flood. You know what he did? He moved toward God. Amen. It says there he moved with fear. And as he moved with fear, which is a good thing, right? Fear in God. Don't fear the wrong things. But fear God, that's the right thing, right? Don't fear what man can do in you, but fear him that can take both body and soul, put it in hell. Matthew 10. As he moved with fear, the Bible says he prepared an ark. You see? He got busy. He prepared the ark. And you know, as Noah was preparing that ark, he was mocked. He was made fun of by the world. But you know, God called him a preacher of righteousness. You know, the world out there mocking him, you know, saying all the things that they do. And God's saying, you know what? That's my man. That's my man. You give it to him, Noah. Give him to him. Preach it to him, Noah. And he did.
Amen.
He did. And then when I got time, God said, you know what? Time to get in. And you know, a wonderful thing about Noah is when Noah got in the ark, and he got in, you know what? There wasn't no cables to close the door. God shut him in.
Amen.
Noah got in the ark. You know, but God, how are we going to close this door? Don't worry about it. You just do what I told you to do. Got in the ark, and all of a sudden, look back. Faith. Faith. What kind of faith you got? You got great faith tonight. You ought to have some great faith. Noah moved with fear. You know, Noah's message was just do right. Do right. You know, Bob Jones Sr., the old Bob Jones, that was his message. So his preaching, just do right. He would tell his students there in Bob Jones University, he would just tell them, hey, just do right. Do right. And his famous message and his famous preaching was, do right, do right, do right till the stars fall, do right. I would think that Bob Jones was a preacher of righteousness. You know, I think what God is telling us with this virus is, you know what? Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Hey, America, stop sinning. Just do right. Do right. What we need is preachers of righteousness today. We don't need, you know, guys that look good in front of the cameras. You know, guys that can, you know, deliver a wonderful message. You know, or be so, or we just need some preachers that just tell, hey, listen, do right. I got to do right. You got to do it. Let's do right. So God can bless us. You know, the right thing is to trust Christ. The right thing would be to flee from the wrath to come. And the wrath is coming. The wrath of God is coming. The right thing would be to humble yourself and pray. Seek the face of God. Turn from your wicked ways. Wouldn't that be a right thing to do? And I think the right thing would be to, as Paul said, to call upon the name of the Lord. Boy, that's the right thing to do. Right? I did that back in 1979. And I tell you what, I never regretted that right thing that I did. Never. I regret a lot of stuff I did, but that's not one of them. Not one of them. Like I said, the problem is people don't want to do right today. And because they didn't want to do right in the days of Noah, you know what happened? The flood came. The flood. And Genesis 6:5 talks about the wickedness of man was great. You know, that's a sad commentary. Of man. It's a sad commentary. But do you know what? This is exactly where we're at today. And you know what? Christ said that we would be where we're at today. He said, as it was here, he said, as the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. What was going on back in the days of Noah? They're eating, drinking, marrying. You know, a lot of those things ain't bad, right? Of itself. Eating's not bad. Drinking, marrying's not bad. But you see, what was the bad thing about it was they had no concern for God. They were too busy doing these things that they just, you know what? They were not prepared. They were not prepared. And the flood came. They were outside. I want to close by just saying, once again, you know, these are trying times we're in. Strange times, I mean, really. You know, our country has been shut down for months. Our people have been stricken with a terrible virus. people have died, people have lost jobs, businesses, and as they say, it might get worse before it gets better. But I want to say with all confidence that God is still God. Amen. And I want to say with all confidence, if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be standing here tonight, that God is still in control. Amen. And I want to say that not one word of this Bible will fail. Not one jot or tittle will fall to the ground of this book until all be fulfilled. Amen. And listen, things are being fulfilled as we speak, as every day we go by, the word of God is being fulfilled right before our eyes. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be together tonight. We pray for your people that you might help us to have strong faith tonight, God. Lord, we are not capable, but God, you are capable of doing everything you have told us you would do for us as believers. And so we look to you, God, that you will fulfill your promises in our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for those that support the church tonight and every time the services. We just pray that you be with the baptism to come now. In Jesus' name, amen.